Take your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. For some reason, I was touched by the thought. I was thinking of possessions, and I don't know why I said to myself, I said, precious possessions. And I thought, oh, precious. That's a good word. Some things are precious. My wife, to me, is precious. She's not just that I like her or even love her. She's precious. And I would do whatever it took to protect her and because she's so precious. You who have children, you can honestly say, how are your children? My children are precious. Right? My children are precious. To you, anyway. Maybe not to anybody, but they're precious to you. Your whole life revolves around because they're precious and you do anything for them. I thought of I know probably somebody might say if somebody has a new car or something, oh, you and your precious sports car. It comes across a little different. But how many know a car can be pretty precious? One scratch on it, you'll know about whether it's precious or not. Or if somebody says, you know, if it's an expensive vase or a ring or something or a necklace and say, well, what's it? Oh, yeah, careful. This is from my great-grandmother. This is really precious to me. Oh, precious. That's a good word. And I thought, there are things to me that are precious. But the Lord, I felt, was asking me if there were other things in my life that I would agree with that too was maybe more precious than some of these other things. So 1 Peter 1:7, he says, so that, well, let me just start it off. The scriptures tell us that trials, tests, difficulties are precious. Say, how in the world could that be? Well, let's get the tone on this. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold. Oh, man. I wouldn't mind a bit of gold. Apparently, it's pretty precious right now. But this is more precious. Imagine having something more precious than gold. May be found, although it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gold is precious, but your trials and your tests, at least to God, are more important to Him. They're more precious. Precious trials, whoever thinks of it that way, the trials of life. Right? The trials of life. There's lots of them. I often wonder when, because we can't see everybody's heart, obviously, when people, we come to church, I wonder what loads you're carrying. I wonder what weights you're carrying. I wonder what's anxious for you. I wonder what's being threatened for you in your life. I wonder about that. The trials of life. Well, hard as it may seem, the scriptures encourage us to use these things and to see them as more precious than gold itself. I thought, wow, I can remember, though, I remember I had a bout of vertigo. Remember that? Tell ya, you thought I was kind of dizzy-headed anyway. That was not pleasant. You know that no one's ever died from that? They wanted to. Sought it, maybe. Because that was just crazy, whacked-out stuff going every direction. I didn't know what was even happening to me. But, you know, for about 2.5 weeks, the only safe place for me at night, safe where the horizon I could keep it, was sitting in a chair. So I slept sitting up for about 2.5 weeks, just sitting in a chair. Pat got some pillows around me, just sitting there like this. After all, actually, you can fall asleep if you work at it. But I see, because my head would slouch, and then I would realize, oh, no, they're starting up again. So I would sit like this, with propped up, so it would kind of keep my chin open. There's always a horizon. But you know, about the second week, I got thinking about it. I was sitting there, you know, awake and so afraid the next wave was going to come. I don't know. I know this little story is nothing compared to what some of you are going through. But it made me, made me feel how selfish I am. How I haven't prayed often for some people. You know, I should have prayed for them. They went through something 100 times worse than this. And so I found that I was praying more. It came out of that trial, that testing, that I prayed more sincerely than I probably ever prayed, because you don't pray silly prayers when you're kind of whacked out. So trials, God says they're precious to you and to me. They ought to be. It brings us closer to the Lord. That much we know, right? Show me anybody who's going through a test. You may be going through this. You may be going through a test. I know one thing about that is that you're going to be closer to God if you allow it to be. Right? So I can see that, how that works. It just brings us closer to God. How valuable is that? How valuable is that? That we came out of the other end and say, man, that was difficult. But I've learned to pray more, read the word more, not judge other people so much. Isn't it funny how when everything's going fine for you, we can judge people, but you can't do that when there's trials in your life. It brings us closer to God, and there's a refining process that God sees as unbelievably valuable. The refiner's fire. Not that we need to look at, we don't have to pray for these things. Oh, Lord, give me some trials. Don't worry, you don't have to. It's like I remember one Sunday somebody was praying, and I think they meant well, but they're saying, oh, Lord, make me nothing, make me nothing. I said, you don't have to pray that. Trust me, you don't have to pray that. Just don't ask God for that. So I say, Lord, send me trials. No, it's that when they do come, and sometimes they're little things, and sometimes they're big, but it's a testing, right? You may be going through a test even now. You say, I don't know what to do even. Yeah, that's part of it. But it's precious. Now, years ago I read a book. You can dial it up if you want to. But it's called The Sacrament of the Present Moment. And I just lost her name. It's a lady who wrote it, but I lost her name. So you can, those of you that like looking stuff up, so when I get boring, I know what you're doing. So, and she said this, the sacrament of the present moment, that the present moment is like a sacrament, like communion, like water baptism. That we tend to look back in the good old days and all my accomplishments when everything was great, was really, really fine, or we're way off here in la-la land where we're dreaming and planning things. And he said, we're so desperately trying to get out of the test that we miss the moment of it. We miss the purpose of it. That you may never, and to someone I might be speaking to today, you may never be this road again. You may never face that kind of a trial again as long as you live. You may not. You may never see it again. Therefore, you don't want to rush out of it before it's milked all of the goodness out of it. So, Lord, whatever you're teaching me in this moment, Lord, may I learn it. Right? May I learn that so I've got something working in my life, this refining going on. And so that this present moment, whether it's a suffering, whether it's a difficulty, whether it's financial, whether it's relational, just say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you and praise you for this moment that's happening in my life. And I don't want to get out of it until you've worked the greater work in my life and in my heart. So it's precious, a precious trial. We all get them all the time. And I'm a better person because of them. That's all I can say. I'm just a better person. And I need all the help I can get, so I'll take that as good. And it's precious. Say, Lord, thank you for this precious trial. Number two, the Bible tells us that the Lord sees the blood of Jesus as precious as well. 1 Peter 1:19. Well, 1:18 kicks into it. It talks about being ransomed, purchased. Not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. The precious blood of Christ, better than gold or silver or anything else. It's a precious substance. It's for us, it's the price of redemption. It's the proof of God's love. How do I know that God loves me? It's because of Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, that while we were yet sinners, he didn't wait till I got better. He didn't wait till I was improved. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Christ died for me and shed his blood. It's precious because it tells me how valuable I am. The blood of Jesus tells me how valuable I am. While I was still a sinner far from God, he reached down and saved me. 1 John 1:7 tells us that there is the one thing is the washing away of sin. The only thing that can do it is blood. the blood of Jesus. That's why the blood of Jesus is precious to me, because it was the only thing that could cleanse me from all my sin. What a wonderful, what an amazing thing, isn't it? Why, it ought to be precious to you. It's because it's what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So it can't get clean, but the Lord can clean us. We say, I thank the Lord for his shed blood, and he died for me and to wash away my sin. I was thumbing through Acts for something else, and I came across Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Listen carefully. He says, to care for the church of God. Okay, got that? God. To care for the church of God, which he obtained by his own blood. Oh, you mean Jesus? No. To care for the church of God, which he, God, obtained with his own blood. The blood of Jesus is precious because it's God's blood. That's the only place you'll see a verse like that. It says, the blood of God. Wow. God shed his blood through his son. But it was God's blood. It's precious to us because of that. So I have precious trials and worth more than gold, apparently. And I have a precious blood shed for me to remove all of my sin, which is the only thing that can do it. But I also have a precious Savior. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to verse 7 says, a cornerstone, chosen, precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. See, Jesus is precious. He's precious. And I know what'll make you worship if you see the preciousness of Jesus. Right? If you see the preciousness of his shed blood, you will worship. What will make me witness the preciousness of Jesus? That there's no one like it. There's nothing like him. It's a very, very wonderful and powerful thing. But to us who believe, he is precious. He's precious. I can't treat it lightly because it's so valuable, so important that I honor this in my life, that I have a precious Savior. It blows you away. As I was walking down the street, and I was conscious of this, and I was just looking around. So I said, Jesus, you are precious to me. Matter of fact, Lord, I don't have anything more precious than you. I love you. I'm so blown away by you. I'm so impressed with you, Lord. I love you. Thank you for being my precious Savior. See, that's personal stuff, right? I'm so grateful for him. Nobody loves you like him. Nobody will do anything. Ever, ever, ever will they do what Jesus will do for you personally. That's how precious he is to us, a precious Savior. But there's more. There are precious promises. Just when you thought it couldn't get any better. 2 Peter chapter 2, his precious and very great promises. What is he talking about? Well, I'm aware of them. You're aware of them. I cash them in quite often. First of all, the promise of his love. So he promised. He promised to love me, that nothing would ever separate me from that love. I say, oh, thank you, God. The promise of your love. Oh, thank you. I thank you for that love. The promise of his provision. That's what he's promised to look after me. That's why I will not be begging for bread any time in my life. Why? Because David said, I'm young, I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. Why? Because of God's promise that if I would commit myself to him, he would commit himself to me. He's committed to me. That's what gives me a great hope. He's committed to me. I can say, well, I'm committed to you, Lord, but he says, better yet, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to your welfare. I'm committed to how you end this thing. I'm going to be with you from the beginning to the end. I'm going to provide. I am the God who provides. I provide. Yes, you do. Got to remember that. That I'm special to him, and therefore I have the promise of his provision. And then, of course, there is the promise of his presence. You know, I can always tell I'm going to make it if I can sense his presence. You know, if I feel that God's with me, like Moses, I'm not going if God isn't with us. But how wonderful his power and his presence. You know, when we invoke it, don't we say, Lord, come, just touch me. Even when we have our devotion, don't we say, Lord, I love you. I thank you for your presence. Don't we say that? I thank you for your presence. And Lord, I just pray you'd wrap your arms around me and you'd carry me today and guide me today. And this beautiful promise of his presence. That's a gift to us. And that's why these are precious and great, that's the word, and great promises. So great. Who else has stuff like this? The child of God does. Then, of course, there is the promise of his coming, and that we will never part again. Don't you love Thessalonians? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. A day is coming. We will always be with the Lord. So on Friday when we had the casket was here, the casket has an amazing effect on people. Mostly trauma. They come in and say, there's a body in there. Yeah, there is. It's here. Some people sit right at the back and some people come to the front. I had the privilege of saying, she's not here. You know that, right? She's not here. She's with Jesus. Oh, man. Just lifts off 95% of the whole pain right there, right? Just in that very fact. I said, she's not here. You can talk if you want to her, but she's not there. She's never going to be there. She's never coming back. She's in the arms of Jesus. That's the power of this thing, to bet together with the Lord, always with the Lord. And because of that, we're able to minister life and comfort and hope, and because we will see her again. And this wonderful of the promise that he said, so to be ever be with the Lord. Phyllis is with the Lord. Right? Now, you know what makes heaven, we talk a lot about heaven, the scriptures don't pick up much about heaven. The value of being in heaven is because Jesus. It's so shall we ever be in heaven. No, it's so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's the Lord that makes it precious. There's nothing precious about heaven apart from Jesus. It's fancy, probably. This is pretty nice, but somebody says the problem with dying and going to heaven on the North Shore is that it looks like you return home again. Just got back here again, you know. It's like heaven, right? Well, that's because you haven't lived in Regina. I have. I'm a little bitter about the game. See, heaven is a wonderful place because of our Lord. He's there. That's where he is. I've never seen him. Whom having not seen. I haven't seen. Imagine that. We have not seen him. But we can hardly wait, knowing that when he comes for us, we'll be with him forever. So whether we go by the grave or whether we go by the sky, it matters not. These are the promises. God has promised that to us, and they're precious promises. So precious. So valuable. And then lastly, what things are precious to me? This is where it spoke into my own soul. See, 1 Peter chapter 2, I want to just touch on it again. Verse 4, a living stone, rock. There seems to be something about the Lord and rocks and stones. The Lord, my rock, the Lord, my rock. How many times have you seen that? It must be 100 times. The Lord, my rock, the Lord, my rock. Powerful. And here brings it up again. So you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Chosen and precious. And you yourselves are living stones being built up. Verse 6, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, cornerstone, chosen and here again, chosen and precious. But the next verse is the Magna Carta of the Christian faith. If you memorize something, I would encourage you to memorize. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. I was telling that had a conversation with this individual. We were talking about another friend. And I said, how is so-and-so doing? And he said, well, you know, he's not doing very well. He said, oh, and he said, as you know, he doesn't. And this is what he said. Just, you know, he said, he doesn't have a rock in his life. Boy, that just went through me like a ricocheted, just like a bullet in my head. I said, what? I had never heard that, actually. He said he doesn't have a rock in his place, in his life. There's no place to put his feet. There's no place to rest. There's no rock. I said, how can he do well? You can't do well without a rock in your life. You need a rock in your life. I need a rock in my life. That rock is Christ Jesus. Rock of ages, right? Cleft for me. That's what I need. I need a rock. If I've got a rock in my life, I don't care. Let it shake, right? Let it move around. Let there be tests, let there be trials. It doesn't matter because we're on the rock. And I've got that clear in my heart, in my head. So I say to others, and I've been able to say for the last 40 years. How old is that guy? The last 40 years, I've been able to proclaim without apology, without any hesitation, that you can put your whole weight on the Lord, and he will never let you down. I've been able to proclaim that to everybody in every setting, whether it's in a coffee shop or whether it's in a pulpit, to be able to say, listen, the Lord, you can put your whole weight on him. Go ahead, do it. And he'll never let you down. This has been corroborated by millions and millions of people, folks. This is not some wacko guy up here just talking. So, oh, I'm my pastor. You're who? It's not. It's all. It's been proven over and over again by millions of people through the ages. I do not know of a single true believer of Christ who ever said, "I trusted Christ implicitly. I followed him wholeheartedly, and I'm sorry I ever began this walk with him. This is all an illusion. He is a fraud, and I have been put to shame." It has never been said because it can't be said. Whoever believes in him will never be put to shame. What a verse. No wonder this is what our faith is built on. It's on the Lord. I know that about him. Never been put to shame. Never sorry I trusted him. He's precious. He's precious because of who he is. Other things that can be a fraud, that can be a sham, and thus a shame. But when you have this Lord in your life, now notice what he said to those. So the honor is for those who believe. Of course it is. But for those who do not believe, yikes. Yikes, folks. Listen to this. For those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and it's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Is that not true? If you don't know the Lord, then the whole thing seems kind of crazy. Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, and you stumble. I find this, though. We can talk about God all we want, but it's only when you start talking about Jesus that you really make headway, because he's the one you can never find fault with. You can't find fault with his beginnings. You can't find fault with his teachings. No religion in the world finds fault with Jesus. They never do. They just don't. You cannot find fault with him. He is flawless in everything he does. That's why we never promote Western civilization. Never promote the Western church, unless you want to get burned with that label. Right? Never put your trust in organized religion of any kind. I don't know why we say organized. That's an interesting word, organized. Organized sports, organized religion. I'm not sure how that works, but never, right? Because that will fail you. Never try to defend the church and its practices, because they're abominable sometimes. But you can put your trust in this Savior. He'll never let you down. That's who you bring up. Somebody said, well, I don't know why God would allow this and this. I don't either, but all I know, this man is hanging on the cross and he's shedding blood for you and me. So it's got something to do with that. And then we find that, but until that, it's an offense, right? It's an offense until you put your trust in him. And this rock of offense, you don't, so I, my word to you, if you're here today and you just have not made that step onto the rock, I just so encourage you. I would just admonish you. Trust Christ. I don't trust this church, and certainly don't trust the leadership, but trust Jesus. We'll let you down. We'll let you down big time. But he never will let you down. I've gone to the bank so many times with this. Going, I said, Lord, it's always right. You are the exalted one. You're the great one. And we love you. And Lord, you're more precious than we can explain or we can express. And we're never going to turn back. We're going to go on. Because Jesus said, are you going to go from me? And they said, Lord, where are we going to go? You hold the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? Right? It's you, Lord. Where are we going to go? It's you. So therefore, we know we will not be put to shame. Would you stand with me? Thanks, Randy. What I want you to do, just for a little exercise here, we got lots of, the coffee will be waiting for us. It's a great day, weather, perfect weather. Oh. I have a crazy little thing I do. I think you maybe do stuff like this too. I hope you do after I tell you. Sometimes I'll just be worshiping and then I'll fix the spot. I know I'm not trying to create reality or anything. I just fix a spot in the ceiling. And I just behold him. I don't see anything. I don't see a picture. I just see a bunch of light bulbs hanging down here. But I love to say, I love you. I love you. I've never seen you, but I love you. And just to invoke his presence. There's none like you, Lord. And just allow yourself, even go beyond words. Just let him draw you to himself. That's just something that works for me, but you may have your own thing. Forgive us where we in some times haven't cherished you. As we leave this building this morning, I pray we'd have a sense of being overwhelmed and staggered and stunned by the love of a Savior. Thank you. Lord, I thank you. When I took you seriously, my life took another turn. I'm grateful. Lord, we're about the most unworthy group of people we could ever be. We didn't get all these things because of our greatness or our goodness. We got them because you're a God of grace. And we want to tell you, that grace is precious to us. And I pray, God, that you would just stretch forth your hand and touch everybody here. Those in the balcony, those in the center part, those on the side. Dear Lord, touch them. May there be a lasting sense of the presence and fragrance of Jesus as they go. I pray this won't just wear off at 4:00, God, but it would be just a sense that we've been with Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for your presence as we leave. Guide us and direct us together. I pray for those that are going through deep waters. It's just been a difficult time. I pray for strength for them. I pray they'll get full value out of what they're going through. And I pray that you'll send your spirit and your comfort to them. If they've come here hopeless, I pray they'll go home with some hope. For someone who's overwhelmed, I pray they sense, oh, there's a rock under my feet. So we'll give you thanks and praise and honor and glory. And Lord, if there's a man or a woman here today that just hasn't made that step into the kingdom, I pray today, before the day is over, they would kneel before you and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your death, your burial, and your resurrection. I put my trust in you. I'm choosing to believe, knowing that to him who believes will never be ashamed. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I invite you into my heart. And I want to live for you. Oh, I want to live for you, God. I want to serve you all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord. We're excited about this week, Father. Use us. Use us greatly, we pray. In Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake, and for Jesus' kingdom, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Here's the thing. You might want to pick up some of these, but if you are new, we've got these boxes around the building. If you have a prayer request for the intercessors, or if you have you want to pick up a new, if you're a visitor, pick up a new book, or if you want to tell us something, fill out the card and put them in the little things there, and pick up the invitations as well, if you would. Thank you. See you on the patio for coffee.